This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. In the summer of 1964, racial tensions were high in the Deep South. That came to be known as the Freedom Summer. Northern activists went south to show solidarity with local black organizers who had been struggling for civil rights. It was a violent summer in which three activists were killed. Coincidentally, that year, groups of young white music lovers began a different journey through Mississippi. They were looking for blues musicians Skip James and Son House. The nexus of the Freedom Summer and the search for the blues is featured in a documentary called Two Trains Runnin', part of this weekend's full-frame documentary film festival in Durham. It screens tonight at 8 at Fletcher Theater in Durham. And Sam Pollard is with me now. He's the film's director. Hello, Sam. Thank you for being
here.
Hello.
Thank you.
Also with us, Ben Hedin. He's the writer and producer of the film. Ben, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank.
Tell us, Ben, about these two groups, two different groups who didn't know each other, 1964, decide to look for a couple of blues legends. Tell us about them.
Yes, an unlikely coincidence that they both chose the same week to drive to Mississippi. One group from California, some guitarists, one of whom, John Fahey, later became quite famous. They left to find Skip James. At the same time, a couple of Bostonians and a New Yorker, blues fans who had gotten hooked up with the folk revival that was then sort of in full bloom, they drove to Mississippi to find Son House. And you have to remember, this is a world where a singer could, in effect, disappear. They made a handful of records in the early 1930s. There were no photographs of them. There was no sort of paper trail. They did not even know where they were from. They were using song lyrics for clues. And really only found them through dumb luck.
Sam, what's going on in the early 1960s that generates any of this interest from people in the North and California to find these blues legends?
Well, you know, this is sort of the apex of the civil rights struggle. I mean, we've had the SCLC and SNCC, you know, going to places like Selma, you know, in Montgomery. And you know, there's a lot of tension going on in the country about, you know, breaking the back of segregation. And it's really kind of fascinating that Waterman and Fahey and those guys who were sort of not that connected to the civil rights struggle would happen to go down south at that particular time during Freedom Summer. You know, it's an amazing sort of coincidence, you know. So, you know, when Ben Hedin approached me about over 3 years ago about getting involved with the film and talked about trying to create this parallel story, I was a little reluctant, quite honestly, because I thought it was a lot to chew on to try to do these two stories simultaneously. But he was pretty proactive about wanting to make it happen.
About seeing what happens when two trains are running in the same direction, though they don't know it. And you talked with some of the members of that group from the Northeast contingent. Let's hear a little clip from the film.
United by the dream of making contact with the blues' mythical origins, both groups of searchers were now on their way.
Going down south, I'm going down south. I'm going down south, I'm going down south. The chilly wind don't blow.
We left the second week of June, three Jews and a Volkswagen Bug with New York plates.
I'm going with you, babe. I'm going with you, babe.
Getting in a car and kind of pointing it south and thinking that it would be easy enough to find a performer like Son House. I mean, it's like Bigfoot hunting. There was so little information for them to go on.
You look back on it and you say, I must have been batshit to do things like that.
They may have been aware of what was happening in Mississippi, but the absolute danger and violence that was a reality for local black Americans was an abstract notion for the average white college student.
I mean, to go into Mississippi in the summer of 1964, you had to be either very brave, very stupid, or very uninformed. If I had known what was going on, I sure as hell would not have wanted to go to Mississippi at that point.
That's a clip from the documentary Two Trains Runnin'. It screens as part of the Full Frame Festival tonight, Fletcher Theater in Durham. My guest, film's director Sam Pollard and writer Ben Hedin. We'll talk about musically, too. What's the attraction? Because this is sort of the peak of the revival movement when a lot of young songwriters and music enthusiasts are looking for the roots of American music, right?
Yes. You know, the folk revival sort of gained steam, and then some people realize, hey, these guys from the Depression are still alive, black and white, and we can go find them if we're lucky enough.
Well, let's talk about one of these artists and just get a sample of the kind of music we're talking about. Let's listen to Sun House.
I got a letter this morning, how do you reckon it read? Say, hurry, hurry, the gal, your love is dead. I got a letter this morning, I say, how you reckon it read?
That's a little bit of Sun House. He is the quest in the documentary Two Trains Runnin' that screens as part of Full Frame tonight. We've got details on our website. But Sam, you know, this is a kind of a raw sounding music. I mean, to people who are just looking for sweet melodies and things, you know, what's the attraction? Why in this moment are people looking for this raw sound out of the South?
I think the young students from the Boston area, and Nick Pearls from New York, and John Fahey, and those guys from the West Coast, I think they were looking for a rawness. There was a tension and an energy to the music of Sun House and Skip James and people like Buckle White, you know, and Mississippi, Fred McDowell. There was a rawness to the music that they felt they were missing. You know, now we were transitioning out of rock and roll. Elvis Presley, the Beatles were about to hit the scene. And they were looking for something more visceral, you know. And this is what that music did. It really made them feel it in their gut, you know. And that's what made them attracted to it and wanted to get to find those musicians.
You know, the other thing, Frank, is they had recorded before radio was so omnipresent and had sort of consolidated forms or made forms more homogenous. Mm-hmm. And so it was a hearkening back to a time in America when you still had distinctive regional styles. And the fact that nobody else sounded like Sun House was a huge part of the motivation to find him.
Yeah, and for Fahey, I mean, he talks about he has passed, but we have some record of what he was thinking at the time.
Yes.
And he just, that was a great mystery, even those tunings. It's like, how's he doing that? And he's a pretty smart guy on guitar and could not figure out what the tunings were, right? By listening.
But that's what made those guys special, that, you know, Skip and Sun. They all had their own original voices. Mm. It made the music unique, you know, and sort of following the tradition of African-American music where the musicians would bring to those instruments, the guitar, you know, the saxophone, the trumpet, their own unique voice and make it their own.
So now that we've got this quest to find these guys, the authenticity, the rawness, something more authentic, and yet it is a naive quest. And when they go, it's like, how are we going to find these guys? And I think it's fascinating to see what they thought was going to happen and how they thought they were going to find these guys.
Black people who we did speak to were guarded, of course, because we were white, and they had no reason at all to trust us.
Three white kids in their 20s with New York license plates and New York accents? No, none of the black people were gonna talk to them.
I mean, Mississippi, for young white people who might have come from New England or California, it was really like a new world. You couldn't imagine it.
We can't go out on the plantations, really. You know, you can't just go out there and tell a Negro to come off the plantation and go to the courthouse. What happens is in the town, we organize the town people. And then they have friends on plantations.
That's a clip from the documentary Two Trains Runnin' that screens tonight as part of Full Frame at Fletcher Theater in Durham. My guests are the director Sam Pollard and writer Ben Hedin. So let's talk more now about the environment that they were driving into and how you portrayed that part of it, the social justice part and the violence in Mississippi in 1964, Sam.
Well, you know, there's a wealth of archival material that represents that whole era. So, you know, we did our due diligence and did a tremendous amount of research to find the archival material. We interviewed people like Dave Dennis and Bob Moses, who had been a part of SNCC, who had been in the belly of the beast, to use that phrase, back in 64. And they were at the forefront of making those things happen to sort of bring down the young white kids who were going to do the opposite of what Dick and Fahey were going to do. They were going to be very proactive in trying to break the back of segregation and have black people have their voting rights. So, you know, we searched out those people and they were, you know, they weren't that hard to find. And you know, I have to tip my hat to Ben here, who's not only the writer, but he was a producer, a first-time producer, but a producer who really did his homework and really was very proactive in finding all the people that we needed to shoot and making this thing happen, you know.
Well, and one of the interesting things about this story in general, and one of the pitfalls we often fall into, because is when we tell the story of young white people coming from the North as part of this movement, it sometimes gets confused as though they were down there, then they became the organizers, and then the movement. This movement was already well underway by local black organizers who had already risked and lost their lives in this struggle. And that, you know, white sympathizers were coming down to lend support to a movement that was well underway. Many risks and sacrifices had already been made. And I think that's something you're aware of, I think, in making this film.
Yes, yes, that's well said, Frank. I mean, that the movement had been going on in Mississippi since 61, and that movement was itself built on and continuing an infrastructure of activism that goes back at least as far as the Depression. You know, they didn't start anything either.
Sam, you brought some interesting notes in the production of this film. First of all, the reenactments. That's always a tricky thing in documentaries like this. And you chose to use animation, and I thought it was extremely well done. Talk about the choice to use animation for these reenactments.
Well, someone asked me about that the other day, and I said that when we started, I had, you know, I grew up making lots of documentary films, and a lot of times I have used reenactments, created impressionistic reenactments, used actors in reenactments. In this particular case, our editor-producer, Deva, I think she suggested, right, Ben?
I think she
suggested that we should think about using animation. And she suggested we rewatch a film I had seen a few years back called Waltz to Bashir, a wonderful documentary about what was going on in Israel back in the 70s and the 60s. And we watched that film, and the animation is just phenomenal in that in that piece. And so we reached out to the same company that did the animation for that. And I think it's probably one of the best decisions we made for this film, to do animation, because this group of animators, they made that period really come to life.
And sustain the texture of the film, because sometimes when you have to do reenactments of any kind, you can get into a texture problem. It didn't happen.
And it can pull you out of the film.
That's right.
It didn't pull you out of the film.
And it also solved a tremendous problem, because as Sam mentioned, Freedom Summer is copiously documented.
Right.
But of the searches for Sunhouse and Skip James, we found a grand total of one photograph. So we had to animate.
And you got other musicians to play some of their songs. We have an example here of Luther Dickinson performing Highway 61. Let's listen.
Lord, that 61 highway is the longest road I know. Lord, the 61 highway is the longest road I know. She run from New York City down the Gulf of Mexico.
That's a clip of Luther Dickinson in the documentary Two Trains Runnin'. It screens as part of the Full Frame Festival. Tonight, Fletcher Theater in Durham. We've got the full schedule at our website, stateofthings.org. I guess that also leads to the question of the impact of this, the fact that there was so much interest in that kind of music. It did revive and, in many cases, keep it in the culture, and the impact today. There are a lot of musicians still today who are benefiting by that legacy, right, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, part of the thing was to find musicians who are still in love with that music and still perform that music. Valerie June, Gary Clark Jr., who's a phenomenal talent, you know, the North Mississippi All-Stars, the great, iconic Buddy Guy, who grew up at the feet of those musicians, you know. So it was just, it was really a real fun part. That was a real fun part of the film, to go and sit down with these musicians and listen to them perform. Chris Thomas King, another great musician, you know, who all revere this music of Sunhouse and Skip.
Country blues finds a way of sticking around. I mean, it's always there for each generation. You know, it's in the bloodstream of American music. And that's one of the lessons of the film.
Well, the other thing, you know, Sam talked about the challenge initially when he heard the project, the plan for the project of keeping these two stories on track, if you should pardon the expression. What were the surprises for you in terms of being able to blend these stories and the kind of synergy that, I mean, there's some obvious connections, but what did you learn in the process of making this film?
One of the surprises that it was indicated in the clip you played was that when they went down, they weren't totally aware of Freedom Summer, which, you know, when you look back 50 years and a historian, you have the focus on it, you're like, oh, everybody must have been talking about Freedom Summer all the time. But they really didn't know, and they certainly weren't aware of how hot Mississippi was. I mean, how armed and ready the state was to combat the invasion, as it was called. And so we did sort of have to adjust our expectations and try to put ourselves in the minds of the characters more than we were initially expected to.
And the other thing I think that's interesting, too, is that, think about it, these guys are searching for these two icons, but they didn't really have any kind of plan about what to do if they found them, you know. Yeah. And it's amazing that they did find them, and then Dick and them started to say, oh, maybe we can get these guys back out there performing, and got them to Newport, you know. And Dick became Sun's manager, you know, and he has a great photo archive of Sun's work over the years when Sun was performing, when he came back.
It's great stuff. My guests, Sam Pollard and Ben Hedin. Sam is the director of the documentary Two Trains Running. Ben is the producer and writer of the film. Going to screen as part of Full Frame, the Full Frame Documentary Film Festival. Their film screens at 8 at Fletcher Theater in Durham. We've got it at our website, stateofthings.org. Sam, Ben, thank you both so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You can find out more about the show at our website, stateofthings.org. It's produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton Ormond. Robin Copley's our technical director, with Al Budarsky sitting in today. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Here are the North Mississippi All-Stars going down south.